Today's Mishnah is Shviyas Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph. So before we begin this perek, which is completely focused on the idea of what is known as Shmitat Ksafim, as opposed to the normal dinam of Shmita, which considers Karkaot and Perod, we have to take a look in Re'eh, and in Re'eh we find the following psukim. A whole new presentation of Shnas HaShmita. Miket sheva shanim ta'ase shmita. V'ze dvar ha-shmita. Dvar ha-shmita is going to turn out to be very meaningful. Shomot ko ba'al mashe yado asher yashev re'ehu. Anybody who has a loan against a friend must drop it. Lo yigoset re'ehu ve'et achiv ki kara shmita la'ashem. You must not go back and pressure him to pay up that loan. So is it only a din in pressuring, or, I mean, suppose he just wants to pay up the loan all on his own? It's mashma from the pasuk over here that the iser is not to pressure him. But what about the first part that said shamot? You have to let go. So how would you let go if the person wants to pay and you're not pressuring him? Don't you still have to let go of the loan? And if you accept the repayment, would you not be over on the shamot? Now, this is going to end up being a fascinating compromise, because the shamot is in the context of devar hashmita. Devar hashmita, as we see in the pasuk, means the speech of shmita, shamot. And that means you can get away with making a speech. It could be a little hypocritical. So if the guy is coming to pay back the loan, you have to say, Mishametani, no, chas v'chalila, what loan? This is Shmita. The guy says, okay, that's great. But, you know, really, I feel terrible. I borrowed $100,000 from you. I'm paying you back. Oh, okay, that's fine. So then you made your speech in terms of the Dvar HaShmita. And you can accept the money, as we'll see. On the other hand, bringing any kind of pressure to repay, on that you would be over on lo yigos et re'ehu. Furthermore, the question is like this. When it says shamot ko ba'al mashe, does that mean that if you don't, not only are you over on the mitzvah of shamot, but in fact, the loan is not shamot? In other words, the Torah seems to be giving it into your hands. And we had similar questions about the dinim of the Paris of Shemitah, whether they become automatically. So it's the afkarta of the Malkats that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mafkir these Paris, or it's a chiv on you to be mafkir, or you have to actually do the hafkir even though the Torah was mafkir. Now here the question is the Gabe Shemitah. This is already a serious issue. Is the loan shamut even though the other guy isn't mashmit? So if you borrowed money and you know that this guy wants his money back, the bottom line is that if he doesn't shamait his loan, so you still owe him that loan. We'll see what the nafkaminas would be. And then the pasuk continues. Et hanochri tigos v'asher yelecha tachicha tashmit yadecha. So tashmit yadecha seems to be yet another mitzvah. Now we have an additional iser lo ta'aseh. He shomer lecha pen yiye davar im levavcha b'liya'al lemor korva shnat ha-sheva, shnat ha-shmita, v'ra'a enecha b'achicha hevyon, v'lo titen lo, v'kara lecha el Adonai, v'haya b'cha chet, noton titen lo, v'lo yera levavcha v'titchalo, כי בגלל הדבר הזה יברך אדוני אלוהיך בכל מעשיך ובכל משלח ידיך. So this is a new mitzvah, which is a lo ta'aseh, one of the Tariq mitzvahs, which is that if Shemitah is near and you don't want to make a loan because you're afraid that Shemitah will be mishamed, if the guy doesn't pay it to you in time, you're not allowed to take that into consideration. So we have, first of all, one mitzvah ta'aseh. And that is Shmot ko bal mashayado. The question of etachicha tashmet yadecha, why is that not a separate mitzvah? That we'll have to see. What is learned from that additional pasuk? One mitzvah lo taseh, which is very clear, lo yigos et re'ehu, straight out, iser lo taseh. Second mitzvah lo taseh, hishomer lecha. Every lashon of hishomer, as the Gemara says, is an iser lav. And therefore, it's as if it says, lo yelecha davar b'lial. And therefore, it's telling you, you're not allowed to make these assumptions over here. Fine. Now, the question, of course, is all of these issues that we raised, what is the meaning of them in terms of the actual halacha? First question that we raised, a lot of these things are really not clear la halacha. In other words, the question of whether you, if you are not going to be mashmit, is, does the loan still exist? Okay, so first of all, remember that we said that if it's a speech, the speech is enough, and that's called ze dvar hashmita. All you need to do is you say, mishametani, no, you don't have to pay me back. The guy who then says, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, afal pi kein, I want to pay you, you have a right to take it back. So the question is, when you say mishamet ani, is that absolutely necessary in order to cancel the loan, or is it just a mitzvah for you to relate to the loan? So if the Torah is saying zed dvar hashmita, you're mechuyev to actually go and say it. If you don't say it, then that means that the loan is still extant, and therefore you are going to be over on not being mashmit by not saying it. So this is a big machlokas. It's actually very early machlokas, but because of the fact that there isn't that much discussion about the dinam of shvias as well with other issues. So because of that, we're left with a very chashuv of machlokas. It's a machlokas between the Arz Amruah and between the Yireim as to whether this is considered to be a iser d'oraisa if you don't say it, or it's just that that is the way that you're mekayim it when somebody wants to pay it back. Fine. Okay, so this is, again, the same question of hafka'a de malka or not. Now, let's take a look at the actual Mishnayos. So the Mishnah begins, shvi'it mishametet et hamilva v'shtar v'shalo v'shtar. It doesn't matter whether you made a loan, whether that thing is written up with a contract, or it's baal peh, you still have exactly the same mitzvahs, the same mitzvahs, lo taseh, that are associated with it. But what about a charge account? Not a loan. So when you say baal mashe yado, does that include money that you owe? All money that you owe? Or is it only money that was baal mashe yado in terms of a loan? Well, it depends how it's arranged. Hakafata chanut eina mishamet. Let's say you've been buying all kinds of things from a store. You've got a large bill at the store. That's not going to be mishumat because it's not a normal loan. But suppose the guy said, im asa'a milva. So suppose he sends you the bill and you say, look, I don't have money right now to pay the bill. So is it okay if I pay you later? So then if that's the case, he's actually turned this into not a hakafa. Hakafa means that you're just turning around. Okay, we're adding it up. You know, it's not kedai for you to pay me in little dribbles. But once he gives you the bill and then you're not going to pay the bill, at that point, he's essentially covering the bill for you and he's lending you the money. In that case, you've turned it into a loan. So im asam yilva, then it would be mishametet like anything else. So again, the question precisely, what turns it into a milva? What words does he have to say? This ends up being a machlokas. Is it simply sending a bill? Or is it sending a bill with an agreement that you have to pay up by such and such a time, and until then I'm not going to go after you? That part is also necessary, and that just sending the bill is only letting the person know where it's holding. That's a machlokas. But in any event, it would be a milva. Marshein ken Rabbi Yehuda Omer, harishon rishon mishamet. Actually, each new charge on your charge account turns the previous one into a loan, by definition. Because in terms of his cash register, the fact that he had a running balance that balance at each point that it becomes a balance. And now you add to it that itself turns it into a money that you own, and that it's not called a running charge account. Each time that you charge, you're basically saying, okay, I owe you X for what I bought last week. You'll give me a bill for this new stuff, right? Okay, so once I owe you X, then that's considered to be automatically a loan. We don't paskin like that, but it would certainly make an awful big difference in terms of what Shvi is mishamet. Now, what about the schar of somebody that is actually working for you? So schar sachir, you owe a guy money not because of a loan, but because he's worked for you and you haven't paid him yet. So over there, it would not be mishamet, but suppose he also makes a cheshbon and he says, you know, you owe me 500 shekel. And the guy says, okay, so if I pay you next week, then that's a loan. So there too, it would be mishamet b'shvi'is. Rabbi Yossi Omer, if this guy was working on something that is contra shvi'is, he wouldn't be allowed to do it on Shvi'as. So let's say you're having him plow your field. You owe him for plowing the field. The moment that Shvi'as comes along and he cannot do the work that he's supposed to be doing, that is something that is b'chayim him to pay. And if he doesn't pay, then by definition, it's considered to be a loan. For Shvi'as, it would be b'shametet. Ma'ashenken, if he's still working for you and the work was cleaning your house, which has nothing to do with Shvi'as, so then it doesn't turn automatically into a milva. And because of that, it's eina mishametet. And that would be the pasha way of learning. Not everybody learns like that. Some of the Rishonim understand that when it means poseket, it doesn't mean that Shvi'as ipso facto is poseket. It means that the contract is poseket. It was something that you yourself had determined with him, and he's no longer going to be working for you. So if it was during Shemitah that now it is that you became chayiv, then it's considered to be a loan that is mishumat. But if he's still working for you, then it's the equivalent of the ongoing turnover in the chanut, which is the equivalent of a running charge account, and therefore it wouldn't be mishamet. Okay, that is a good opening for the 10th parak of Masechet Shvi'as, which is focusing on Parshas Re'eh. Our first Mishnah in our new parak, which is Nogea, specifically the din of loans. So we spoke about the general psukim, about the loans. There's some issues over here that remain up in the air. Remember that when it came to Shvi'as, when we were talking about the mitzvah of Shvi'as Bizman Hazeh, we ended up saying that Shvi'as Bizman Hazeh is a derabbanan, because the Torah interrelates, at least that's our halacha l'maaseh Sinai, that bizman, that there's a din of yovel, there's a din of Shvi'as, which means ein shmita noeges ela bizman shei yovel noeg. The same thing is true of shmitat ksafim. Even though shmitat ksafim is very different than the other dinim of shmita, for an obvious reason. The other dinim of shmita are mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz. And the inyan of yovel is fundamentally a din in the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. In which case, the interconnection between what it is that happens in Shvi'as and what it is that happens in Yovel is profound. Masha Enkein, since the din of Hashmatas Ksofim is not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, it's noeg even in Chutz La'aretz, and it's noeg b'diraisa. So the question is, why would it be Bizman Hazeh dependent in Yovel? Nonetheless, let me read to you the Lashon of the Rambam, and we'll see a deeper insight into the issues of this Mishnah. So the Rambam says like this. First he brings, of course, the Psukim, that mitzvah saseh, la shmita milva b'shvi'es, shenemar v'zet var ha-shmita, shmot. So first of all, the way that he expresses it is that the mitzvah is for you to be shomet. V'hatoveya chov shavra alav shvi'es, ovar alotase, shenemar lo yigos et re'ehu. Ein Shmitat Ksafim Noheget Minatora Ela Bizman Shayovo Noheg. So Yeshem Shmitas Karka. Shere Yoshuv HaKarka LeBaalav Velo Kesef. V'davar Ze Kabalahu. That means that it's a halacha l'meishem Yisinai. Omru Chachomim. Bizman Shata Mashmit Karka Ta Mashmit Ksafim Bechol Makom. Bein Baaretz, Bein Bechutz Laaretz. Bizman She'ein Shom Shmitas Karka, meaning there's no Yovel, so we have this very unusual, a new concept of Shemitah. A Shemitah which is Nogea D'Oraisa B'chutz La'aretz, and don't try to tell me that that's because it isn't really a function of the overall din of Shemitah. Wrong, because it does not apply in the event that there's no Yovel in Eretz Yisrael. This is a massive chiddush that the Torah is telling us over here, that all of the elements of Shemitah are part of a relationship to the world as a whole. It's just that in terms of our connection to the earth directly, where it isn't money and the translation of ideas into the value of a thing instead of the object of the thing, that's the only place where we are left with the remnants of the concept of Shemitah all over the world. This is a tremendous insight. So it means that even a person who is living in Chutz Laretz is mechuber to the whole idea of Bria as it is referencing Eretz Yisrael and the concept of Nachala and so on, insofar as if there is a Yovel, then he who's living in the middle of Costa Rica is going to have to be mashmit his halvaot, not a pella. It's a beautiful thing, because it's mechaber the entire world to the seder of shmitas and yovelis in Eretz Yisrael. However, continues the Rambam, that midivrei seferim, there's a takana derabbanan, that shmitas ksofim is even noheges bizman hazeh. And it's one takana, not should be noheg in Eretz Yisrael, because it's one halacha. It should be noheg all over. So this is one very important halacha. The next very important halacha that we're going to see more of is at what point in the Shemitah is it actually shemit? And that's, we're going to see the Mishnah coming up. Ein shemit mishamet et ksafim ela bisofa. It says beferish in the pasuk, miketz sheva shanim taseh shemitah, v'zeh dvar hashemitah. So that would mean miketz, just like we have the din of Miket Sheva Shanim when it comes to the mitzvah Hakel. And when it says Miket Sheva Shanim B'moed Shnat HaShemitah is B'chak HaSukkot of the eighth year. Same thing over here. The word Miket means after the end of Shemitah, which means that until the very last moment of Shemitah, if you make a loan during Shemitah, if it was made before the last moment of Shemitah, then that last moment of Shemitah will be Mashmit that loan. So, therefore, says the Rambam, somebody was hilvat chaviro b'shvit atzma, gover chovo kol hashana. And the moment, kishatishaka chama b'leil Rosh Hashanah, shel matzoy shvi'it avarachov. That's the end of the loan. Note the Rambam's lashon, avad hachov. Not like those who were suggesting that the chov is not batul mi'elav and that there's still a chov if the person refuses to be mishamet. Okay, so that the Rambam is paskening very clearly. Okay, so that is the broader understanding of our Mishnah. However, it also means that we have to discuss one additional point, which we didn't have a chance to discuss yet, and that is, what is the meaning of bein bishtar, bein shalo bishtar? So the Mishnah begins with Bishtar, Milva Bishtar, Vishalo Bishtar. But it turns out that there's a big machlokas about what type of Shtar we're referring to. Because normally when we talk about a Shtar, remember that we view a Shtar as providing automatically Achrayut Nechasim. If there's Achrayut Nechasim, is Shvias still Mishamet? For instance, let's say you take a loan and you give somebody a mashkan on that loan. Is Shviyat Mishamet? No. We're going to be seeing later on that a mashkon already means that the loan is essentially collected. And therefore, it's not included in the same idea of the lo yigos, which we're going to be talking about soon. How about if there is achrayut nechasim, and therefore there's an automatic lien on his property, and he doesn't need to go ahead and to go to court in order to establish that there's such a loan? Maybe that's not included in the question of lo yigos et reyehu. Now, it turns out that this is a major machlokas in Gittin, because Rav and Shmuel argue over there with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Rav and Shmuel say that we're talking about even a shtar with achrayos nechasim, and when it says shelo b'shtar, it means not without a shtar, but shelo b'shtar of achrayos nechasim, and that it makes no difference either way. It's going, and of course, a milva bal peh, which is even less. So either way, no matter what the three levels are, milva al peh, very weak. Milva b'shtar, better. Milva b'shtar machrayut nechasim, absolutely the best. Any of them, shvias is going to be mishamed. Whereas according to Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, when it says b'shtar, it means b'shtar without achrayas nechasim. Shelo b'shtar means a milva al peh. But if there's a shtar with achrayas nechasim, then that would be the equivalent of taking out a loan with a mashkin, and it would not be mishamed. Unbelievable. In the end, L'maisa, the Gemara comes out over there that Rabbi Yochanan paskened against himself because he says, "B'pnei she'anu medamim na'aseh ma'aseh." So fine. So if Rabbi Yochanan himself paskened that a shtar that had achrayas nechasim, he paskened like Shmuel, he wasn't able to collect after shviyas. So that's the way we pasken halacha. That includes the hebatim hanosafim on the Mishnah, and gets us into the deep end, into these concepts, the whole broader sense of the concepts of the idea of Hashmatas Ksafim. So I hope that gives a deeper sense of joy and connectivity to the ideas of Hashmatas Ksafim. So we've been discussing these very, very important questions in the issues of the first opening Mishnah, where we talked about what type of loans are we talking about in Shemitah, that we are able to be mishamet, and what not. So what we've dealt with is the difference between a straight-out loan, then it's mishamet. What about a charge account in a store? So we said that is possible that it would be mishamet, but it would only be mishamet when it's turned, that's called zakfa alav kemilva. Gavi, I think it's kedai to have that as a terminology. Zakfa alav kemilva. And to maybe keep it separate from a second shvius and a second adorim. So then when something has been set up, meaning you set it up there, zokev, you set it up there and you say, okay, this is what you owe. So now we'll start the next month. But just remember, you owe me this. You owe me this? Okay, so then what I'm doing is you really are supposed to pay me right now and we'll make it a loan that you owe me. Okay, so then if it's a loan, we said that then it becomes like any other loan. And we had Rabbi Yudashita that we understand that every new charge automatically changes the old one into Zakfal of Kemilva. Okay. And as we said, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yuda. Now, the question is, what is the real meaning of the Zakfal of Kemilva? Because we haven't precisely explained what that is. Are there different concepts? There's the meaning of a loan versus a debt? Is that the point? And the Torah only canceled debts, but not only canceled loans, but not debts? I mean, yes, there is actually such an approach, because the truth is that the idea, which is brought the Pashtus, it seems to be a Beferish HaSifri, in which it raises that issue exactly. The Lashon of Tzifri is like this. Yochol af b'gzeila u'pikadon. So you might think that the din of Shemitah would apply even, to, let's say you stole something, so now you're chayev in hashava, maybe comes along Shemitah and cancels the chiyev that you have of giving it back. Maybe. How about if you give something to someone to lend? So, okay, so now he doesn't have to bring it back to you. Talmud Lomar, this is the diak of Mashe Yado. that would include something that you are able to be toveya from yourself, that you had given from your hands. Okay, so then that means a loan. Would it include maybe schar sachir, maybe hakafata chanut, which were the two things mentioned in our Mishnah? Talmud lomar asher yasheh bereyehu. So in other words, we're understanding that the source of the debt is what the Torah is addressing. That if the source of the debt was you're giving over money to be paid back, that is what the Torah is being mishamet. And that's why it specifies, why all of this talk? Kol asher yado asher yasheh bereyehu. Just say, kol asher biyad reyehu. I mean, that you won't have to return. So Kamashman, that's not true. If you owe somebody money because he worked for you, you owe somebody money because you bought in his store, you owe somebody money because you stole from him, whatever it is. None of those are included. And that's why all that additional language. That means that the Torah is fundamentally making a distinction about where the source of the funds are. Now, this is basically the way that we paskin lahalacha. When we say that we paskin lahalacha, remember that we do not have clear-cut piskei halachas over there the way we do in most sugyas, but we do have some of our most important shorashim is basically the gross piskei halachas, which are listed always in the Pa'at HaShulchan, which is also in Gavi's neighborhood. And that Pa'at HaShulchan describes all of the dinim that were nogeya, the halachas that are tluyos in the Oretz. So he wrote them all together, and he called them the Pa'at HaShulchan, meaning the corners of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch leaves, he cut corners, right? When he cut corners, those dinim that are not nogeya bizman hazeh, and that are not nogeya all over, so he cut those corners. So the Pa'at HaShulchan comes to replace those corners that were cut. Very cute title. And it's very kedai, by the way, to read the introduction to Pa'at HaShulchan, especially for Gavi, because he describes the earthquake in Tzfat and what exactly they went through. And so it's very nogeya. But anyway, so yes, this is how he explains it. And this is basically the way that it's the, what appears to be the approach of the Rambam, at least the way that he puts it in the Pirush HaMishnayos, is he says, why does Hakafat Chanut in our Mishnah not matter? Lefi she'eno kederech ha-chovot, shelo machar ba'al ha-chanut masha machar, kedei she'echov. A person who's engaged in buying and selling is not dealing with money that is owed. So fine, the fact that he allows you to pay later, but this is not what we're dealing with. I gave you something and you're giving me something in exchange. Where's the thing in exchange? What does that have to do with a description of Mashe Yado? So that seems to be the way the Rambam is learning. Lamaisa, the same thing is the way that the Pas HaShulchan paskins. And this is also, I mean, all the modern poskim, all the way up to Rav Avadi Yosef, all paskin like this. Now, the only serious shita that does not paskin like this, halacha lamaisa b'zman hazeh, is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins like the Kesef Mishnah. And the Kesef Mishnah has a shocking explanation of the difference. And he says that no, the Torah canceled all debts. The only thing is that the reason that I don't cancel a bill in a makolet is because a bill in a makolet can just drag on, and it does not have a specific date of piraon. And since, as we'll discuss separately, if you don't have a date of piraon, or the date of piraon is not chal during Shemitah, that's a whole different issue. If I have a debt that is going to be paid only 3 years after Shemitah, will the Shemitah be mishamet? So basically, if that's the case, that you hold that would not be mishametet, then the same thing is true, Tainas the Kesef Mishnah, that that's how we paskin, and that it's not mishametet achov, which is not due during Shemitah. And if that's the case, then that would explain why the Hakafat HaChanut is not mishametet. A tremendous departure from the way we're understanding it. And according to him, There's no underlying principle of it depends what kind of debt it is. And if that's the case, then if you take a look at the way the Tosfos Yontov over here understands the Mishnah, he explains it like the Kesef Mishnah. And that would make a tremendous nafka mina lahalacha in who needs to make a prusbel to avoid having debts canceled. Because if it's going to affect even hakafat hachanut or anything that is due during the Shemitah, so then you've got problems. Okay, so that is a machlokas about the actual approach. We're going to see more about this later. Now, in Mishnah Beit, Perek Yud Mishnah Beit, Hashochet et hapara. So this is going to teach us something very important. At what stage is Shemitah Mishametet? So here we've got a case where what was the norm in the time in which you didn't have refrigeration. A butcher, of course, when he would shecht, he would split, he would make sure that he had buyers, would split the animal. Let me just get the inside of, so I can read it properly because I don't see that well. How do I get there? Yeah. I remember. Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next Mishnah. Fine. Okay. So we're talking over here. It's the end of Shemitah. Now, the end of Shemitah is possibly the first day of what we would have thought was Rosh Hashanah, and it turns out not to be Rosh Hashanah. Because remember, in a time in which you're Mekadesh HaPi HaRe'iyah, there's no way to know whether the 30th day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah or the 30th day of Elul is the last day of the previous Shana. And that would depend exactly on whether the Edim show up or they don't show up. And so because of that, that's how it evolved into the whole idea that we have today of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, in which the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are the first 2 days of Tishrei, because we never knew what to do, and therefore we kept the first day thinking that the Edim would show up and so on. Okay, so it could be that it would turn out that if you were keeping the day as Rosh Hashanah and the Edim never show up, so then Elul had 30 days, and the next day was Rosh Hashanah. So we kept the Rosh Hashanah the next day again, even though we had kept the Mitzvah Sufik today. So let's imagine that people had bought some serious meat for Rosh Hashanah, and they go ahead and they shecht it, and now everybody's supposed to pay for their chelek, right? So the butcher made a deal, you're going to be buying it, he puts out the money, he does the shechita, and he divides it up on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which may or may not be the real Rosh Hashanah. So then it turns out that the month actually was a Chodesh Me'uber because there were no Edim. We didn't accept the Edim. So Imaya Chodesh Me'uber. So what happens? Then the people that got the meat don't have to pay. Why? Because now it turned out that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was part of Shemitah. And since Shemitah is Mishametet B'Sofa, so now even though they owed that money, here we're not talking about where you bought it from a store and it's a kafat hachanut, you told the guy that's doing it that you'll pay him back for the money that he's putting out for you. It's not like a standard case. And therefore, if I'm shechting for you and I'm splitting it for you, it's not a credit card, man. I want my money. So therefore, it's a regular loan. I'll put out the money for you. So I'm lending you money. And now you don't have to pay it back. But if it turns out that that day really was Rosh Hashanah, so then Eino Mishamet, and then you do have to pay for the meat. Pretty dangerous kind of situation. But meanwhile, it points out that the last minute of Shemitah is when it goes into effect. Now, we have all kinds of other ways in which you may end up owing somebody money. Suppose you raped that someone. You owe her the money the Torah is Machai of you. Suppose you seduce someone. Suppose you were Motzi Shemra. In all of those cases, just as in any other Maaseh Beit Din, now this is a sneaky and slow transition to the issue of Prusbel, as you're going to see. Because what the Mishnah seems to be saying is that anything at all that actually is something that the Beis Din is empowered to take care of, those things are not included bichlal in the entire nature of Shemitah. Why is that? So we could say b'pashtus that all of these things are exactly as we said before. They're not the things that the Torah was referring to of Mashe Yado. There was nothing that you had done in terms of giving anybody a money. And that's why all of these things are not included in the din of Shemitah. But how about if you hold, like the Rav Shulchan Aruch, like the which was based on the Kesef Mishnah, that there is no such klal? So then the idea over here would be that a reason a Maisa Yadayim, a Maisa of Beis Din would not be Mishamet is because anything that's in the hands of Beis Din to collect is not included in the concept of Lo Yigos Et Re'ehu. I'm not taking care of this. Beis Din is taking care of it. What are you looking at me for? The courts are empowered to deal with these cases in which there are penalties, civil penalties, knosses, whatever. These are all issues that cannot be included under Lo Yigos. And therefore, if it's the same as any other Maisa of Beis Din, it will not be Mishamet. So now that's a completely different approach, and it explains why we would run into the end of the Mishnah, which now seems to be talking about something similar, namely, Hamal ve'al ha-mashkon. If you make a loan, and that loan is backed up by a mashkon of some sort, so then the point of the mashkon is that what you are doing is you're saying, if you don't pay back, I'm going to keep your watch. Okay, so then does it require lo yigos? Is this an issue of lo yigos? Or is there already a partial payment of the loan because I am holding onto your watch? And for that matter, hamoser shtarotav lebeit din, here we get to our real direct transition into Prizbal. Somebody who would hand his shtarot over and he says, look, I'm going overseas. I'm not going to be able to deal with this. It's before Shemitah. I'm giving you all of my contracts here and asking you, and I rely on the court to collect whatever is collectible. And I'm not going to be around to be Toveya. So there's no lo yigos. I've done whatever I can. So there, all of these cases are not Mishamet. This is a completely different reason. Why? Because it's Asher Yelecha et Achicha. That which is in your hands to be nogeis, that is mishumat. Masha Einkein, if it's already what it is that is be'achich is in your hands, because it's a mashkan, in which case, a malval mashkan is not mishamet. Or, it could be, the way the Rambam explains it, that once he gives you that mashkan, in that case, it's as if that's the repayment. Because you can hold on to it if the person doesn't pay you back. And only the pasuk is only referring to Hamoser Shtarot Tov LeBeit Din Asher Yelecha Et Achicha. So over here, I'm out of the picture. I don't have, Asher Yelecha means it's between me and you. This is not between me and you. It's between the courts and you. I already handed over to the courts. Now, you can already see here a mechanism by which it might be possible to get around the problem of Shemitah. And that's why we go directly from here into the next Mishnah, which we'll see Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. But that is the description of a Prizbal and what a Prizbal does. Because since we see over here that it's possible to be able to ultimately collect your chovot, as long as it's not you who's doing the collecting. So if there were a way to hand over your chovot, even if you don't have a shtar, nobody says Moshe shtarotov lebeit din. Okay, so then I'm giving over this contract, and the contract stands on its own, and it's as if the whole case is finished. The aidus to the loan is there. The signatures on the loan is there. I understand that I can do that, give it over to Beis Din. I don't need a principal then, because it's no longer in my hands. But can I hand over a loan? I mean, there's no contract. I lent the guy money. Maybe it's just verbal. Can I hand that over? What exactly am I handing over to collect? Now that leaves a gaping hole in how I would be able to get around the payback issues of lo yigos. And it's there that we're going to need a takana, which brings us to Hillel's takana. But you could see over here clearly how this parak was set up in a way that leads us directly into first discussing what do we mean by alone, then discussing what it is that is actually still collectible, and where it is that when I'm out of the picture, there's bichlal no din of the cancellation of such a loan. It has nothing to do with me. And from there, tomorrow, into Prusbel. So we'll look at the mechanisms of Prusbel as they relate to this Mishnah as we continue Bezrat Hashem. Meanwhile, wishing you a wonderful day. And of course, everybody already wrote their Prusbels and we're a little bit late, I agree. But since, after all, as we just spoke about the Barnea, we're doing this, you know, over 13 times. So, okay, it's a good beginning, and this will be good for the next Shemitah. 13 Shemitahs is a little bit long, but, you know, as the old ant says, you never know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu might change his mind and give me 1,000 years. I better keep working on my income, because I might get stuck and starved to death in 100 years from now. Kol tov. See you all. Bezrat Hashem.